reading three verses in the 18th chapter. Matthew 18, beginning with the 18th verse. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if you shall agree on earth as such, reading three verses in the 18th chapter. Matthew 18, beginning with the 18th verse. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Thank you, Jesus.
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Praise God.
Now you notice that Jesus mentions several times earth and heaven. He says, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. If two of you shall agree where? On earth. As touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Three times here in two verses, the Lord reminds us that we are in earth. And whatever we pray, whatever we do, it has an effect on heaven. It is a reminder also that we are not in heaven. The simple fact of the Lord's mentioning two places here and separating them as he does is a gentle reminder that we haven't made it yet. We are still in the earth. But on the other hand, the Lord seems to say, even though you are on the earth and you're not in heaven yet, and these are two separate places, yet what you do here has some effect up there. You bind something here, it shall be bound there. Loose it here, it shall be loose there. Pray for something here, my Father which is in heaven, he is going to do something.
Lord. Right.
Now this is encouraging. It's wonderful. It's good. Right. It means that we are not confined to our little sphere of habitation. Right. It means that we are not inhabitants of the earth with no communication or relationship whatsoever with heaven. So this is encouraging. It tells us also that something can happen if we will do something, that heaven will have a response. But the exciting thing is in verse 3 that I read to you. I want you to listen at this third verse. Now I've told you about earth and I've told you about heaven. The loosing, the binding. The binding, the loosing. Praying for something, getting an answer. But Jesus seems to say, I want to tell you something a little bit better than that. He seems to say, let's kind of forget about the earth-heaven concept. He seems to say here, it doesn't really make any difference about earth and heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name. Now you notice, he just said, wherever it is. He forgets the earth and the heaven. He doesn't confine this to an earth and a heaven relationship. He just makes it very universal, very general. And he says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. There am I in the midst of them. Now I want to tell you something. It doesn't make any difference whether we are on the earth or in heaven if we've got Jesus in our midst. Oh, don't you want to go to heaven? Sure, I want to go to heaven. But if He is not there, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to be where Jesus is. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. I want to talk to you tonight for a little while about presence. This is going to be a simple little message. But I feel that if you will understand what Jesus said in this verse here, every prayer you pray from now on will be a different prayer. If you pray for the sick, and the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You're going to pray for somebody that's sick, and you're going to feel much differently when you pray. You're going to feel much different about it. Every sermon that you hear, it's going to be a different sermon. Brother Gilstrap, do you really feel that this could be so revolutionary, just the understanding of this little verse? Oh, yes. For we often say, I believe Jesus is here tonight. We often say, I feel His presence. But I wonder if we really believe what we are saying. Do you really believe in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now I want to read in conjunction with this in Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation, the first chapter, verse 12, and let's look at part of 13. And then an explanation of this verse in 20. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Everybody say seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst, where? In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Read the description of Him, and that was Almighty God. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. The 20th verse is a commentary on this. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest. Now remember, he saw seven candlesticks up here, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. And down here the Lord says, the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now, where did John see Jesus? He saw Him in the midst of the seven churches. Where did Jesus say He would be? Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the what? In the midst. There am I in the midst. There am I in the midst. And John saw the Son of Man. John saw the Almighty God. John saw the first and the last, the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Where does Jesus want to be? Brother Rutledge, He wants to be in the middle of His church. Hallelujah. He wants to be in the middle of His people. That's why I believe that He is here tonight, in the midst of us. Right here tonight, Jesus is here. Hallelujah! 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 Sitting right over here, Brother Hank, is Jesus. Right over here at the organ is Jesus.
Praise God.
As close as one of the lambs are sitting. And you know Jesus is right there between them. Right? He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the what? The midst or the middle. There am I between them. There am I in the middle of them. There am I in the midst of them.
Hallelujah.
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 So Jesus is not the man upstairs. He is the God downstairs. He is the one that's in the midst of His people. And folks, He is here tonight. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is here tonight. Yes. Let's praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Oh, wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to go back to the third chapter of Exodus, and I want us to look at a great scene. Moses, who was exiled at 40 years of age for aborting the plan of God by trying to deliver Israel before it was time, was following the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law. When from the path he looked and saw a bush that was on fire but not being consumed. The Bible says that when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see the spectacle, that the Lord spoke to him and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I, Lord. And the Lord said, Pull off your shoes because this ground is holy ground. He pulled off his shoes. And God began to unravel a glorious, a beautiful story of redemption for Israel. He said, I've heard the cry of my people, and I'm going to do something about it. And you're going to have to do something about it, Moses. And he told him a beautiful story of redemption for them. But then, Moses said, Now, Lord, when I get back to Egypt and I tell your people about this, they're going to want to know some authority behind this. They'll ask immediately, for I know them. They will say, Who sent you? What's your authority? And he said, Whom shall I say sent me? And the Lord said, I am that I am. And then he said, Moses, I tell you what, when you get over there, you tell them that I am sent you. I am sent you. Now, that's kind of strange for a name of God to tell them, I am sent you. But you see, this tells us a little bit right here what Jesus told us a lot about in the verse that I read to you a while ago. God was trying to let Moses know, as he is trying to convince us tonight, that he is a God of the present. Now, I want to talk to you for just a minute and kind of explain a little something. You see, when we mention past, present, and future, we are talking about time. For time can be measured in past, present, future. But time is only that sphere in which man dwells. God, the Bible says, inhabiteth eternity. But time is in the midst of eternity. In other words, if this building were eternity, time is just this Bible stand. It's from here to here. It is small. In fact, it's the only measurable part of eternity. You can't measure eternity, except you can measure time. And that is a little bit of eternity, but it's just a little bit here. There's eternity past over here, eternity future over here, but here is time. And we divide it into past, present, and future. Now, Almighty God, remember, is not confined to our sphere of living. He's not a God of time only. He is a God of eternity. And being a God of eternity, He is a God of time. Now, that's why it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday,
Hallelujah.
Today, right. and forever.
Right.
It wasn't trying to tell us, now you better believe in Jesus. He doesn't fail, you know, if He's good. No, it was trying to tell us that time doesn't make any difference with God. He's the same yesterday, He's the same today, He's the same tomorrow, will be the same tomorrow. Did you know God can see tomorrow night? He can see the next service Sunday morning. Did you know He can see Sunday morning service as much as He can see this service right now? Did you know God can look right now into Sunday morning service and see us exactly as we are in service right now? Why? Because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, as He occupies the present, He is also in the past, and He is also in the future. But really, these are elements of our living. It's just that God exists everywhere at the same time for all time, and that's why it says that He is the I Am.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Now you see, the Pharisees were troubled about Jesus and His identity and His claim to authority. He referred to Abraham and said, you remember, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, saw it and was glad. And they said, well, you're not yet 50 years of age, and how could Abraham have seen your day? We can't understand all of this. And then Jesus said, before. He's using a word of time. He's using a word of the past to relate to the past. He's getting in our sphere. That's true. For He came to this sphere. He came from eternity to time. He came from divinity to humanity. So He said, before Abraham was. Now, was is a verb of the past tense. But now, wait a minute. He's not through. He said, before Abraham was. Now, He leaves the physical. Now, He leaves the human. Now, He leaves the sphere of time. Now, He leaves earth. And He says, before Abraham was, I. What did He say? Hallelujah. He said, I am. He did not say, I was. Oh, no. When He referred to the was and the before, He was talking about humanity. He was talking about us. He was talking about time. He was talking about Abraham. But when He said, before Abraham was, I am, He was talking about the Almighty God, which He was. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. You see, that's not even good English. That's not good grammar, but it's good theology. You don't say yesterday, I am. You don't say He am. You say He was. He was. But Jesus said, I am.
Right.
I am. Before Abraham was, I am. You say, why are you getting so excited about that? Because I tell you, our God is not a seasonal God.
All right.
You know, there are some folks that feel like that God is just, He can really move at one time, but then at another time He can't.
Yeah.
There was a time when the church in its early beginning really needed some attention, and so God was a miracle worker then, but He don't work miracles today. But He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And something else. Some people feel like that God used to hate sin, but He doesn't hate sin anymore because this is the 20th century. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. If He hated sin yesterday, He hates it today, and He'll hate it tomorrow. Somebody said, I thought He was living in grace. I thought it was easier now. Oh, it's harder now. It's harder now. Oh, yes, we've got grace. But what if you had to bring animals to church and sacrifice them? They couldn't wear linen and woolen together. They couldn't plow an ox and an ass together. There were many, many rules. There were many, many stringent rules that they had to adhere to very strongly. And you see, today, it's a little different. We can offend in spirit. We can hate and be a murderer. We don't have to go out and throw a stone anymore. Those folks who feel that God has let up a little bit, that they are wrong. God still hates sin. He despises sin. So He is a God of the present. Hallelujah. 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 So when He says, before Abraham was, I am. He is letting us know that He is not confined to time and that He can do anything He wants to do anytime He wants to do it. And if He wants to look into the future and drop some of the knowledge of that into the mind of somebody now so that He can relate it in the Spirit, that's fine. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why is that so spectacular? Because God knows everything about tomorrow that He knows about today. So why cannot He reveal that? And if He chooses to reveal that through His ministry and through His saints today, You see, really everything that we have tonight hinges upon the presence of God. The presence of God. The I am of God.
Lord.
Hallelujah. So this destroys the God is dead theory. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He, as He worked yesterday, He can work today, and He is going to work tomorrow. Can you say, praise God? Hallelujah. Now, as we mentioned, this takes care, if we really believe this, this takes care of the sin question. Not only does God hate sin now because He has always hated it and will always hate it, but how much do you want to sin if you really believe Jesus is right here? For instance, now I want to give you a little story. And I don't want you to get confused at all. In fact, I want everybody to listen. I want everybody to wake up and look at me and understand real perfectly, lest you get confused, that this is a story. It's a fictional story. It did not happen. It did not happen. Everybody say, it did not happen. Okay, now when I drop my hand, that means I'm going to start on the story, and I'll tell you when it's over. Now, everything that I say when my hand drops is not true. It did not happen. This afternoon, Brother Rutledge and I came over to the church, and we were in here praying a little bit and talking and having some fellowship when the door opened. And in walked a strange-looking man. His attire was not really so different from anybody else's, but there was just something about him that seemed a little mysterious. He walked in, walked down the aisle. Brother Rutledge turned around and said, "Well, hello there. May I help you?" He introduced himself, and he said, "Are you the minister here? Are you the pastor?" Brother Rutledge said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'd like to talk to you." Just came by to talk a little while. So we sat down here and started talking, and he asked us a little bit about the church and asked us a few questions about what we believed. And we felt that he really had something else in mind, you know. And so pretty soon he said, "Let me ask you two preachers, do you believe the Bible?" And we said, "Why, well, sir, yes." "Well," he said, "do you believe all the Bible?" He said, "Yes, very much so." "Do you preach it?" "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, I'd like to just turn to a little verse here." And he said, "I'd like to read something to you, see if you believe it." He turned to the last chapter of Mark, and he began to read. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." You believe that? We shook our heads. Yes. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." Do you believe in that? We said, "Very definitely." "They shall speak with new tongues." And we didn't wait for him to say, "Do you believe that?" When he raised his head, we both shook our heads very enthusiastically. Then he said, and he didn't have to read this. He looked up and just quoted it. He said, "They shall take up serpents." "Do you believe that?" And he closed his Bible. Well, we figured then what he was going to try to do. So, Brother Rutledge, being the pastor, naturally, I wasn't going to answer. I looked at Brother Rutledge. Brother Rutledge said, "Most certainly we believe. That's the Bible." And he gave him a very good, reasonable, sensible answer to that verse. He said, "Excuse me just a moment." And we looked at each other, and he walked out the door. We said, "What in the world?" And he had an old pickup parked outside. And so he came back in just a moment carrying a little wire cage. He walked up here. He set it down on the altar there. And we looked in, and there were some of the biggest rattlesnakes that you have ever seen. He said, "Y'all believe the Bible, huh?" We said, "Yes, sir, we believe it." Well, he was just about to say, "You know what? When?" In all the excitement, Brother Rutledge happened to bump that cage just a little bit, and that thing toppled off into the altar area. When it did, the little hinge on the top popped open, the lid flew open, those snakes slithered out and ran in all directions. Now, we ran in all directions also. He tried to catch them. In fact, we looked around here for an hour or two and never could find a one of those snakes. And it was finally getting close to church time, and we had to hurry and come on and get ready for service. And And I'm sure that none of them would be in here now. I'm very sure, because they don't like carpet, and they don't like service like this, and they don't like lights, and they like dark corners. And I'm sure they're probably down in the creek or the river or the lake by now. But now I'm preaching to you tonight, folks, about presence. I want you to know what presence can do to you. I want you to see how presence can change your behavior. It can change your pattern of life. If that little story had been true, what would you be doing right now? Some of you wouldn't be stretched out so. Some of you would have only one foot on the ground, and maybe no feet on the ground. Do you see what the chance of one little snake being left in this building could do to all of us at this moment? The chance of it be. But saint of God, tonight, I'm not trying to talk to you about the chance of the Lord Jesus Christ being in the service. I'm not saying that He was here this afternoon and He could be here tonight. I'm not sure that He could be around here somewhere. Oh no, He's here. Tonight, right now, He is here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Why? For the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I. There am I. There am I. There am I in the midst of them. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There is our guarantee. If I can believe in heaven, I can believe this verse. If I can believe anything about God, I can believe when He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now you see, if Jesus could walk in that door right now, physically, so that we could all take a picture of Him, so real that we could all look at Him with the naked physical eye, spiritual or carnal. And He would walk down that aisle. And He would walk up here on this platform right now. What would be your response? What would you say? What would you do? If we had a testimony service, would you be the first one to testify? If we had a testimony service, wouldn't you want to testify? Don't always testify. Don't always feel like testifying. But boy, if Jesus was up there, I'd want to testify.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Is that right?
Right?
Oh, yeah, I would. Yes, sir. I don't feel too much like standing and praising the Lord, raising my arms. I worked hard. You don't know how hard I work, preacher. But oh, if Jesus would walk up here, Brother Hank, right now, on this platform, I wonder what our response would be. Is His name Hank?
Right.
Frank. Ought to have been Hank. What would our response be? Oh, yes, it would be all together. But you see, He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I. There am I. Right here. He is here tonight. You can't take a picture of Him. You may not can see Him with the naked eye, but my friend, He is here in this building tonight. He is here tonight.
Yes, He is.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Brother Rutledge, in your new church, I want you to take these down where we can walk back. I'm going to say, if Jesus right now, walking in that door, would walk down the aisle and would sit down here by me to where you could see Him, and you know if somebody walked in that door behind Him and walked up here and said, preacher, I don't like you. I'm going to shoot you. What would I do? Do you think I'd be afraid? Number one, if He shot me and killed me, the resurrection and the life is sitting right there. Hallelujah! I can see Him. He had just walked in physically and sat down right there. I'd say, buddy, friend, I'm not afraid of you. Or anything that you got or can do, because here is the resurrection and the life kill me. Jesus can raise me up. Hallelujah.
Oh,
in fact, I'm not so sure that you can get a bullet around here. Because I'm going to get over here just as close to Jesus as I possibly can. And I know you're not going to get to shoot him. Do you see what I'm saying tonight? Do you see how present? Now I'm going to ask you something else in conjunction with this. How much faith do you have to have? How much faith do you have to have? If Jesus was sitting right there, how much faith would you have to have? I don't understand what you mean, Brother Gilchrist. Well, you see, faith is that something that you have to have when you don't have what you have to have. Is that right? Faith is something that you have to have when you don't have what you have to have. If you got to have something and you don't have it, you better have faith for it. So faith is what you've got to have when you don't have what you've got to have. Hallelujah. Now then, if you've got Jesus, what does the Bible say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, if he's sitting right there, you don't hope that he's there. The evidence of things not seen. Now, if you've got Jesus right there, you don't have to worry. Now, how much faith would you have if Jesus were physically standing in this building tonight? You wouldn't have to have any faith, because you would say, there he is. It's my confidence that I have in him. He is right here right now. I believe right now it's beginning to kind of sink in just a little bit. When you begin to see, you see, several months ago, this verse struck me. And I will confess to you that it has made a different person out of me. Whenever I pray for anybody sick now, I don't think about, now this person's got an incurable disease, and who am I? I am nothing. Why am I praying for them? Oh God, how can this be? When I lay my hand on them, in fact, many times, I'll tell them as I do, Jesus is laying his hand on you right now. Hallelujah. Why? Because where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I know that Jesus is right there. I'm not alone when I pray for the sick anymore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What about preaching? Oh, I preach with the knowledge that Jesus, the preacher, is right there. If it was depend upon, try if I, see I can't even talk. If I had to depend upon me and anything I might know, I'd quit in the middle of this sermon right now. Because I'd get discouraged. But oh, when I think about the preacher, boy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There he is, right there. You knock on the door, you're not by yourself. You knock on the door, Jesus knocks on their heart. Hallelujah. He's right there. He said he would be. He said, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, I am a God of the I am. I am always present. You don't have to say God was. You don't have to say God will be to the extent of somewhere in the future away from now. He is the God of the now. He is the God of the I am. He's the God of the present right now. Hallelujah. Saints of God and friends, tonight, if we could understand and truly believe that Jesus Christ were in this building right now, it would change every service from now on. Oh, yes, sir. You don't have a dry service when Jesus is there. Sometimes we get up and we say, I feel the binding spirit here. It feels so tight. Let's pray, saints. But I'm going to tell you something. If you could look around and see Jesus standing there, all the binding spirits would go. All the confusion. All the trouble would go. Hallelujah. All the discouragement would go. All the heartache would go. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something else. How discouraged are you if you can look right there and see Jesus? For instance, if somebody would walk in the door and say, your car has just been stolen. If Jesus were sitting right there, would you get too excited? Would you get too, don't bother me now. I'm in the presence of Almighty God. He has visited our service tonight, and this is the first time in centuries that we have known of Jesus walking bodily into a presence so that everybody in the house could see Him. And don't bother me. I don't care about my car. Hallelujah. Oh, you say, Brother Gilstrap, do you mean if we could believe in the presence of Jesus that we would be oblivious to a lot of things in this world? That's exactly what I'm trying to say. If we could somehow believe that Jesus was right there by His side like He said He was and like He is, there are a lot of things that bother us that wouldn't bother us anymore.
Come on.
Now, may I ask my question again? How much do you want to sin? If you know Jesus is right, if He's riding in the car by you through the day and you're alone and you get tempted, how much do you want to sin if you could look over there at Jesus? You see, the presence of Jesus, that's why that I feel that if we can understand this one little verse right here, our life will be completely different from now on. Because if we can believe that Jesus is right there, it's going to take care of the sinning. It's going to take care of faith. You don't have to worry, oh my God, I don't have much faith. Oh, I wish I had some more faith. How much faith do you need when Jesus is standing right there? Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's the one that does it anyway.
Hallelujah.
You know, Brother Ruggins, sometimes when a miracle happens, people have a tendency to look at the minister involved and to elevate him to some higher position. But every great man that I have known and that God's moved in His ministry, that I've had a privilege to talk to, they will tell you immediately, I'm a man just like other men.
Hallelujah.
I'm a man just like you. And all we need to do is just believe God, that's all.
Hallelujah.
That's not the individual, it's the one standing by the individual. It's Jesus that's there that we've got to believe in. And He's the one that does the work. And He's the miracle worker. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I know it. He told me He's going to work, not to worry about it. Praise God. But none of the rest of y'all are going to work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you know that you can see a car wreck? And you'll drive carefully for a week. The next day, you may drive carefully. But 3 days later, you begin to forget about it. A week later, you hardly remember it. A month later, it's fading out of your memory. A year later, you don't think about it again. Now, you see, we are human. We have a tendency to lose the impressions that are made upon us. They have a tendency to fade as invisible ink. It is there for a moment, and then somehow it drifts. Somehow time has an eraser, and it has a tendency just to wipe out the lines, and we forget. You see, if you could see a car wreck every day of your life, a bad one, you would be a careful driver every day of your life. But we forget. You see, if we could look at Jesus every day, the effect of His presence upon us would change everything. It would change everything. You see, along with the snake business, if we were to tell you right now that a crazed criminal had escaped from a nearby jail and had been seen in the area, I wonder how many of us tonight would be interested in going and getting some pizza or a hamburger before we go home. We'd want to hurry home, check the house, look around, and if you don't usually lock your door, a lot of these folks brag about, never lock my door, never do lock my door. You lock your door tonight. If you knew that in the neighborhood there had been a crazed criminal that was armed and considered extremely dangerous, you'd think about locking that door tonight. Do you see just the fact of that, or the possibility of the fact? If he could be near, I want to change my routine. How much more to know that Jesus is with us? We don't have to guess about it. We don't have to say he may be here. How much more should it change our habits our routine, how we answer people, what we say, where we go, what we do, what we buy. Our whole life. Hallelujah. No, sir, we don't believe that Jesus is here. Just don't believe it. Or we would do things a lot differently. That's why we need to say, God, help us. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to look into this Word and to see Your presence as we have never seen it before. Our salvation depends upon us believing in this verse right here. Because if you don't think Jesus is around, you're going to be up to something. If you don't think Jesus is near, your faith is going to wane. It's going to go low. How discouraged can you get to look over and see Jesus standing there? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You see, it is the answer to everything. No wonder Paul that night said, "There stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." And he told me that everything is going to be all right. And in the midst of the storm, when they had not seen daylight in 2 weeks, when it had been bad, and it was bad, when they had thrown food overboard and luggage overboard, and they were ready to just die in the midst of that storm, in the midst of the Mediterranean Sea. But the answer to that little preacher standing there and saying everything's going to be all right was the fact that he knew there stood by me this night. Right here, Jesus. He's right here. And everything is going to be all right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. No wonder Daniel in the lion's den could say, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and everything's all right." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fourth man in the fire. You see, you could preach everything in the Bible right now. Because that's the secret to all of the victories when you read them. It's that Jesus was right there. The presence of the Lord was right there.
Hallelujah.
How long would you seek for the Holy Ghost tonight if you could look and see Jesus physically standing by your side?
Thank you, Jesus.
How long would you seek?
All right.
Wouldn't that seek long? No, sir. What would that do to your faith? What would that do to your courage and confidence? What would that do to your belief? What would that do? We can just see a little flurry of God, and we get so excited. If we could just see Him standing physically here tonight. But you see, saints of God, what we need to do, we are carnal. If all we can obey and love and get excited about is that we can see with our naked eye, we are yet carnal.
Bless God.
Paul said, "We look not at things which are seen."
Amen.
That's not what we're looking at, Paul said.
Amen.
We're not looking at the things that we see.
Bless God.
He said, "We're looking at things that you can't see."
Uh-huh.
That's what we're looking at.
Glory to God.
That's what we're involved with tonight.
Right.
Who couldn't believe the Lord if Jesus was standing here bodily tonight? But who can't believe the Lord?
Thank God.
To know His Word says that He is standing here right now.
Hallelujah.
Why can't we believe Him? What we need to do is believe this Word right now. Hallelujah.
Thank God.
I'm going to ask you, how many of you stay sick tonight? If you could see Jesus standing there. You see, this is just all of it. If we could see Him right now, we would have faith that our sickness would go.
Sure.
But did you know the healer's in the house?
Sure.
Did you know Jesus is walking up and down these aisles right now? And if you would believe right now, even while I'm preaching, you'd get your healing right now.
Hallelujah.
And if you would believe right now, even while I'm preaching, you'd get your healing right now. Right now.
Hallelujah.
If you would believe right now, you'd get your healing in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
How many sick right now?
Praise God. Praise
How many
God.
Sick right now in the building? If you're sick, stand.
Hallelujah.
Jesus wants to show you that He's here tonight.
Hallelujah.
He wants to show us all tonight that He is here in this building, alive and real.
Yeah.
If you're sick, stand up.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, would you like to have your healing?
Sure
you would. Jesus is right here right now, and He's going to heal you. if you will receive it. For he wants to prove that he is in this building right now, not only to you, but to all of us right now. Raise your hands, you that are sick. Let's all the rest of us, let's pray with them. In the name of Jesus, God, you are in this building right now. We believe your presence. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, you said, there would you be. And we believe that you are here right now, not only to heal, but to save. We ask you to heal the sick right now. Heal these that have stood. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for it right now, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's thank him for healing. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you for healing. Let's all thank him for healing. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Now, if you were healed, stand and testify. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Who did that? That was Jesus that did that. He is here tonight. He is here tonight. He is here tonight.
He's here. He's here.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Was there anybody else healed tonight?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Jesus wants to prove to us that he's here. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! He's here tonight. He's here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Maybe you did not stand, but you were healed as Jesus' hand moved over this altar. Hallelujah. Anybody else that was healed? Hallelujah.
Thank you,
now you see, he wants to fill people with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah, like that God it does.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Just like that.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have to seek for him to come. He's not way off somewhere. Saints of God, sinner friend, he is right here in this building right now. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. There am I, there am I, there am I. There am I. There am I. Oh, let's praise him. Let's stand and praise him. Thank you, Lord.
Oh,
thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and play something. Sing something. Is there anybody here that wants the Holy Ghost tonight? It's right here. It's for you. You can receive it walking down the aisle. Hallelujah. You can receive it tonight in a moment. Hallelujah. For Jesus is right here, right now.